We could use a little good news, couldn't we? One of the great contemporary icons of the Christmas season is the title character from the Dr. Seuss book, which was turned into a TV special and then a movie and now a stage musical. The Grinch, who tries to steal Christmas but didn't succeed. We see signs of Christmas everywhere since at least October. What the Grinch probably stole more successfully was Advent. That time of waiting in joyful expectation. The time of anticipation, longing, preparing for the coming of the Lord. We don't see many signs of that in the mall, if any. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. Children, Advent is more than half over. One more candle to light. The theme is joy, because this Sunday for centuries has had an ancient name, Gaudete. It's a Latin name. Gaudete Sunday, and Gaudete means rejoice. So this is Joy Sunday, and we must not let any Grinch steal that joy. And the reason for our joy, St. Paul spells it out for us in that second reading. Because the Lord is near. He tells the Philippians, and he tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. And he adds, have no anxiety at all. And we might think, easy for him to say. He doesn't live my life. He doesn't know my burdens, especially this time of the year. He hasn't heard the news that we hear. In some ways, Christmas is a paradox, even a cruel one for some people, because the expectations are so high. We want this to be a season of joy. And so many people feel anxious and harried and pressured to somehow have the perfect Christmas. We know that you cannot manufacture joy. And even though all the malls have music that say, 'tis the season to be jolly, somehow that jolly gene manages to escape many of us. This time of year, people always find plenty of reasons not to be happy. Just watch cable news, for example. And I guess it's the nature of being human that we are not always at home in this world. There's always something missing. Even on the best day, as children, we long to be older, and then we spend our adulthood wishing we were younger. We may be strong, healthy, but we want love. And when we have love, we wish for security. And when we have security, we want more time and freedom to enjoy it. And when we finally have freedom, our health begins to fail. And those we love have moved beyond us. Being human seems to mean that something is always missing. We rarely, if ever, can gather up all the fragments of our longings and hold them for more than a moment or two. We know deep down that this world, with all its remarkable beauty and wonder and promise, cannot give us everything we hope for. Life is too short. Life is too fragile. Even the happiest person on the planet right now cannot have a perfect day. Because if there was such a thing as a perfect day, it wouldn't end. It would never end. And this is why we as Christians try to look beyond the present, beyond what is, for our joy. We place our hopes, we find our joy where we can in this world, but also in what isn't here yet, in what is yet to be. And that's the great challenge. Only faith makes it possible. In the time of John the Baptist, people were filled with expectation. They were asking in their hearts if he was the Christ, the promised Messiah. He was a great prophet, preacher, and teacher. He gave them practical moral advice, as we heard. He told them how to live. He told them to be generous with what they had, to be honest in their dealings with each other, and to be content with their material wealth. And he preached to them good news. But was he the answer to the question in their hearts? Was he the Messiah? John replied that there was more to come. Specifically, one mightier than he, who would bring more and be more, more than he ever dreamed he could be. The actual historical original Christmas had already come. Jesus had been born 30 years before that. His birth was pretty much unnoticed. The Messiah had already come, and yet people were still waiting and hoping. And when Jesus finally burst upon the scene, did he bring an end to the waiting? Yes and no. He announced the kingdom of God. He said, it's here already, and yet there's more to come. Still more waiting. His hour of suffering and triumph came. The disciples became the church. The Holy Spirit took up residence in the great body of believers. And even then, all the waiting was not over. Because we are still waiting. Waiting for the fulfillment of his kingdom. It's always coming, but never fully arrives until time finally merges with eternity. And so how do we wait for the second coming of Christ, the final, glorious, complete, everlasting coming of Christ? Well, here is the great truth of Advent, one that no Grinch must ever take from us. We live Advent daily, year round. We are always waiting and longing for something more. And we have two choices, really. We can believe that there is more to come, or there isn't. And if we aren't waiting for anything, if we believe that there is no more to come, that this is it, then we will live our lives in a certain way in this world and make our choices accordingly. But if we have the expectation of something more. The perfection and permanence and fulfillment that is denied us in this world, that is hinted at in every glorious moment, every glimmer of love, every hope in our lives, then such faith will orient our whole lives. Our choices, our relationships, our goals will all be touched by that faith, by that hope in more. This is the secret of Advent. Those who don't wait must get what they can, now or never. But those who wait in hope, who live with a sense of anticipation, that there is more to come beyond this life, beyond this world, who know that God will never abandon us even in death, they will find some measure of peace and joy in this life, and they will bring that joy to others.